Celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves, Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plotto and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
When carrying a firearm, always treat it as if it were loaded. Always keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to fire. Never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And always be sure of your target, its environment, and any other safety hazards. This announcement's been brought to you by TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
I'm Governor Spencer Cox. We live in an incredible state, and this time of year, my family and I, we love to ride. Unfortunately, we've had too many fatalities this year, and while safety equipment is critical, it's not enough. Remember to always be aware of your surroundings and never ride beyond your capabilities. We want to make sure that you make it home safe. And never forget, nobody is invincible.
Faster Utah is proactive about school safety. For more information, fasterutah.org.
Spring is fast approaching, and Sportsman's Warehouse shares your passion for hiking, fishing, camping, and hunting. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. Sportsman's Warehouse has the latest in fishing to help you catch the big ones as the ice melts, or get above the inversion with new hiking boots. Their experts combined with a terrific selection truly make Sportsman's Warehouse the great indoors for those that love the great outdoors. Utah born and Utah proud, Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
Play safe on the water. In Utah, youth 12 to 17 must pass an approved safety class prior to operating personal watercraft on Utah waters. Classes are offered statewide. Register now or get more information by calling 801-538-BOAT. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Kindness. It's a single smile, a thoughtful word, a small, unexpected gesture. Whatever the act may be, it's something we call kindness. Yet sometimes in such a chaotic world, people forget the power that kindness holds. Kindness can brighten a moment, lift someone's spirits, turn a bad day into a good story. Kindness can make someone's week, or month, or year. Kindness can restore faith in humanity, and some say it can even make us healthier. All with a simple, small, perhaps unseen or anonymous act. So, think about this. What would happen if a small act of kindness sparked another small act of kindness, and then another, and another, and another? What if kindness became contagious? And all the small gestures done by many would make an impact felt around the nation, around the world. Imagine that power. And all it takes is one kind act a day.
Joining us once again, he's the boating program manager with the Utah Division of Recreation. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us. We're all crossing our fingers. We're going to see some spring runoff fill up these waters. It's cool right now, thank goodness. We're a little cooler, but I've got a feeling it's going to come back up soon. There's still a possibility there could be some things coming in those waters, creating some submerged or semi-submerged obstacles on those waters too.
Yeah, we may have. And runoff, we still need to be very, very careful with that. And just know that within the streams that come out of our mountains and come down, if we are recreating near them, I will say that we have a few places that people go along our rivers, along the Wasatch Front. We've got the Mill Creeks and such that are there, even down to the Provo River, where there's just places, an American Fork. There's camping, there's access right near the waterways. Water levels are going to start coming up. Flow rates are going to start coming up. Please take care of yourselves, but also the little ones, and make sure that we do keep a good eye out for those in our parties. And be cognizant that we may not have the big, scary, heavy runoffs right now, but there's still dangers that can occur. And, Brian, as you had mentioned here, that every time we increase the flow rate in a channel, stuff works its way out. So, yeah, you may have in these inlet areas some floating debris, some floating logs and whatever else that has just finally now made its way out into the reservoir, to the lake, and just need to be very careful of and watchful of those areas where inlets are, especially the springtime.
And along those streams and along those rivers, if we get super warm temperatures, that could become a big flow still.
Yeah.
If it spikes, I mean, right now we're cooler than the normal temperatures, but if it spikes in the 80s and the 90s all of a sudden for a couple days, it could be pretty bad. And we certainly encourage families, especially those with little ones, to keep a good distance away from those enticing waters.
Yes. I mean, and it happens in a matter of minutes. I'm really, really trying on this one to not go in and paint the bleak moments, but what I'm trying to say is we have water emergencies. And when we have water emergencies, we want to remember this terminology. We want to try to do a reach. This is the rescue technique. we want to try to reach, it's reach with our hands, reach with a stick, reach with a shovel, whatever you can have. Try to reach the person and bring them to you. If you can't effectively reach, then you want to throw. Well, you can throw an extension cord, you can throw a rope, a throw bag, those types of things that you can do a throw. And that's to throw something out to them to where you can pull them back in. But also I want to think about this. If you have something that can help them float, if you have something to throw to somebody that's in need, let's look at an open water deal. As you're going to do a reach, you can't get there. You try to do a throw. Throw doesn't happen with it, with a rope. But think about that throw cushion, that throwable that may be on your boat. Throw that out to them. That you can throw out to that person to give them assistance to where you will not have to go out. And then the last part is they talk about row. Motor the boat over to the person, row a boat out there. But they're trying to tell you, don't go. The reason why they're telling you don't go is, really statistically, it doesn't end up very well. If you have one person in need in a water rescue situation, if the individual that enters in the water to help them is not properly outfitted with the right gear, more than likely one person will still be in a bad situation. They could drown. There may be a rescue that occurs, but the rescuer may not make it. Or the person, the rescuee, may not make it, and the rescuer may not make it also. So let's not add. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've said this many times. I think I even said it earlier this year or later last year when we talked about ice safety. I'm a dad. My kids are in trouble. I'm going to do everything I can to help them. But knowing what I know now, I will ensure that if I'm in that situation, I'm going to have gear to where I need to and I can effectively help them in a portion that's there to where I can help them. We see that a lot, that where a parent jumps in, saves a kid, then the parent dies. And it's sad. I'm not going to armchair quarterback that because I would give my life for my kids. So, not to get emotional. That's that part that we need to make sure that let's be careful where we're at. We can keep that frame of mind. And if we have dangers and we have kids that are around there, I still think about these parks that are along the rivers and, oh, my lands. Small kids, I just don't want to have a kid go. I just don't take him to that park. Just don't go to that park. Go to a different place where there's no water around. And that's probably the best and safest way until you can get them to where they're older and you know that they're going to mind and stay nearby and not be attracted to that water. And if you do go to the water, you're going there in a group and you're keeping an eye and keeping a good safe distance away from it.
A couple of years ago, we had a guest on that you had brought to us from the Utah County Search and Rescue Team. And at that time, they were practicing their rescue techniques and something has stuck with me ever since. And he said if you were hiking and if a kid slipped off the side of the cliff, you wouldn't jump after them to try and save them. But yet so many of us think we can do the same when we slip into the water. You put yourself in the exact same predicament, and your ability to save them is oftentimes not as great as you think you might be. Because that's ice-cold water. It's very fast. Yep. You're subjected to all the same challenges that the other victim might be. You have much greater odds of helping that person from the shoreline or with something you can reach out with, all the different things you've been just saying here.
Thank you so much for bringing that part up. I feel like a lot of times that you look at all these incidents that come in, Brian, and you look at them and you can break them down and you can go, what are some of the root issues that occurred here that made the outcome the way that it is? And it gets you, I won't say insensitive, but you look at it and say, well, if you would just not do this, we could limit the amount of people that lose their life with that. But then you got to look into the other social pieces with that. And I love that piece you just said. If your kid fell off a ledge, you're not going to jump after them. You're going to jump for them. but you're not going to jump after them. And that's the one thing that we need to be looking at. So thank you for bringing that one up. This is always a tough, tough subject to try to tell people, and it's one that we even try to prepare our rescuers for, that there may be a time when you don't have the gear on, so you need to make that choice. Are you going home? Are you going to go home at the end of the day? Or are you going to try this and not go home? And that's where it has to be warranted on, do you have the right gear and right equipment to take care of it?
And it all starts with thinking this ahead. It's all easy to go, okay, it's a beautiful sunny day outside, I'm going to go have fun. But if you know ahead of time what you will be doing if there is a scenario ahead of you, we don't like to talk about doom and gloom a whole lot here, but preparedness, if you know what your game plan is, if something does happen, it makes it a heck of a lot easier, and you can actually be much more effective in those situations.
Yep, if you're going to the beach, how could you? Because we don't have lifeguards on beaches in Utah. That's just it. So our beaches, we don't have lifeguards with that. So if you're going to the beach, if you're going to have somebody go for a swim, if something comes up, how are they going to take care of themselves? The simple thing that I could say to you on that is have everybody be in a life jacket. You're good to take care of that, and we can get those people in. So there's that preparedness piece. So thank you. Appreciate you hitting that.
Let's take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. When we return, we'll continue our discussion with Ty Hunter, the boating program manager with the Utah Division of Recreation. And when we come back, we're talking education. More fun is on the way here on Western Life Radio. Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Don't let your next family outing end in tragedy. Don't drink and ride. Driving an OHV under the influence of alcohol is no different than driving your car under the influence of alcohol. Law enforcement officers will be out checking riders and operators of OHVs. You could end up seeing jail time, loss of driver's license, the same stiff penalties that apply to operating a car. This message is from the Utah Division of Parks and Recreation. Ride responsibly.
Put on your helmet, let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Play safe. Boating accidents happen quickly. You never know when you might end up in the water. Wear your life jacket and have a throwable life preserver on board. Remember, Utah boaters wear it. Call 801-538-BOAT. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities,
yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing! fishing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure, explore Utah, and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov. Spring is fast approaching, and Sportsman's Warehouse shares your passion for hiking, fishing, camping, and hunting. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. Sportsman's Warehouse has the latest in fishing to help you catch the big ones as the ice melts, or get above the inversion with new hiking boots. Their experts combined with a terrific selection truly make Sportsman's Warehouse the great indoors for those that love the great outdoors. Utah born and Utah proud, Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
When you look at the number of disasters in the U.S., chances are every area will deal with some kind of emergency in the next decade. And between school, sports, and social lives, chances are you won't be with your kids when it happens. Will they know what to do? Ready.gov/kids has the educational tools and information to make the conversation easy. When the time comes, chances are they'll feel prepared, not scared. So talk with your family today.
Hi, this is Jeff Johnson from Be Ready, Utah. Have you ever been in an earthquake? There are a lot of things occur during an earthquake that a lot of people don't realize are going to happen, both during the earthquake and in the time afterward. I went through a 7.7 earthquake in Japan many years ago, and I will tell you, I wasn't ready. I'm going to tell you some of the things you may want to think about that are going to occur during and pursuant to an earthquake. First thing is, most people don't realize they'll hear the earthquake before you feel it. Not very long, a few seconds, but you'll definitely hear, and it will sound like a freight train coming towards your house. Most people haven't trained themselves to drop cover and hold on. This is critical, because in the first moments of violent shaking, your life is in jeopardy. And if it's a severe earthquake, you need to be able to get underneath something and protect yourself. Don't ever run outside. That's far more dangerous, 22 times more dangerous than drop covering and holding onto something. Why do you hold on? Furniture and objects will move. In a large earthquake, they will go wall to wall, and you will both be subjected to them moving around with you and them possibly injuring you. Your utilities are going to go out. That means gas, water, power, phone, they're going to be down. How long were they down for us? 30, 35, 40 days. You will need to be prepared for an extended period of time without utilities, water and food and sanitation. Most people don't think about how to take a bath when the water's not running. How much toilet paper do you need? I know we've had runs on toilet paper recently, but we needed 8 weeks worth of toilet paper, and you might as well. How do you bathe when the water's out for 35 days? It could be out for months in some areas, so you might want to give some consideration about your personal hygiene and your sanitation. Very few people think about how difficult travel will be after the earthquake. Bridges will be out, overpasses will be down, buildings will have collapsed in the road, the pavement will be broken up, and it could possibly take a year or more to rebuild some of these. Roads are not repaired quickly, and realize you might have some travel problems. Also, what if your windows break out? What's the temperature outside? Well, whatever the temperature is outside, it will most likely fit the temperature inside your house, unless you have a way to fill up your windows and close off an area and heat it. Think about sealing up your windows and making sure that you have a way to keep your home heated or cool if that's a necessity. You need to be prepared for things that are not often talked about or ever discussed. And these are some of the ideas that you can find at the Be Ready Utah website at BeReadyUtah.gov. Please join us there for more information about how to survive an earthquake and not become a victim. Thanks for listening.
Let's talk about city lighting and light pollution. Light pollution happens when an area is so saturated with light that it completely overwhelms the night sky. The night sky is a thing of value, both in its beauty and as a reminder of our place in the universe. To lose it is a sad thing indeed. Now, nobody likes stumbling around in the dark, but there are certainly ways to use light more efficiently. Turn off your lights when you don't need them. Consider using timers or motion detectors. Shop for shielded lights or add shielding to existing ones. In the meantime, consider planning your trips to make dark sky astrotourism a part of your adventures. Utah has the highest concentration of certified dark sky places in the world. Our outdoor parks and monuments are wonderful places to see the stars at their best. If people will cross continents just to get a glimpse of the Grand Canyon, isn't the Milky Way worth it as well? And if we can successfully reduce our light pollution, we won't need to drive for hours just for a glimpse of the Milky Way. All we'll need to do is go sit out in the backyard. And that's a dream worth working towards.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Now back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Welcome back to Western Life Radio. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff, host this program. We have Mr. Ty Hunter with us. He's the boating program manager with the Utah Division of Recreation. Education is critical this time of year and any time of the year.
Brian, we're starting off a new boating year. We may potentially have new people that will be getting behind the steering of a rental boat or a boat that they've never, ever been behind. And so I'd like to talk about where folks can go to get their education class.
It's a good idea. There are a lot of folks out there. In fact, we're seeing record sales, actually, the last couple of years.
Yeah, record sales. It's just crazy what we're seeing with things there. And so if you are just a new boat buyer to somebody that decides, hey, we want to go rent some personal watercraft and do some things there, there's a couple things that I would like you to look into. First one is to go to our website, boating.utah.gov. Hit the education tab. There is a cost for this education class, but this education class has basically been built and ran by this company. They're trying to keep their cost of advertisement and getting the cards and everything done and out, managing the database for this course. But this is one that all youth between the ages of 12 and 17 that are required in the state of Utah to have to take this course if they're going to operate a personal watercraft. Take this course. I granted you will learn something from it. Have your parents sit in with you while you take this course, because I guarantee you that the parents will learn something. I have not been in a situation or talked to anybody that has completed this course that a parent hasn't come up and said, holy cow, I actually thought I knew quite a bit, and I learned something from this course. So please do that. If you're just going to rent for the day, take that course. It could save you a lot of money. But there's also some free courses for those that are renting that we would like to tell rental agencies, and we're trying to push this out to the rental agencies, that the United States Coast Guard puts in there about rental safety for boats and for personal watercraft. Watch these. Understand what the safety perspectives of what you need to do to take care of yourself, take care of the craft, so you can have an enjoyable time while you're out on the waterways. So you can get all of this online. The Utah course, where you get a certificate, and one for the youth that between ages 12 and 17 that they have to have while they operate a personal watercraft, that one will be on our website, boating.utah.gov. Hit the education tab. You can pick from one of two vendors that we have links for that are on there, and you can get that course and get that certificate so you can go out and legally operate. Again, for those of you that are renting or maybe just going out, or own a boat or whatever, you can take that course and you can get that. That will help you with most insurance companies, help you get a reduced insurance rate, have every operator that's going to be operate the boat take it. I would agree to that. But if you're going to go rent a boat, go to that U.S. Coast Guard. It's the U.S. Coast Guard Recreational Boating Safety website. And I think it's their multimedia, and it is the rental safety. You can just put rental safety in their search on their website. Some very, very good things for folks to be able to get out and learn and know more.
Again, it's that time, and knowledge is power. If you know those scenarios, if you know what to do, you can oftentimes avoid situation that you may regret down the road.
Yep. We'll completely change the outcome of how your trip can turn out. So just a great thing. I think lastly of all, we've talked about water levels. We've talked about runoff, education. I don't think we need to spend as much time as we have in the past with this, but what if we talked about getting your boat and everything all ready for the year, the boat and boat trailer?
And there's a lot of steps that are involved with that. First and foremost, make sure you have the plug in there. I've been on boats where somebody was trying to impress me with their boat, and then they forgot to put the plug back in and had to be towed back to the docks again. So
we see a lot of that. And we see a lot of panic and boats crashing in the docks and everything else. And people will be coming in the marinas at wake speed because they left their plug out. And it causes havoc and hate and discontent. So please remember that. I think the biggest thing to look at is and I don't have an extensive list in front of me today, so I'm going to tell you the ones that I remember from the ones that we've had to go out and help disabled boats in the early portion of the year. You mentioned one, plugs. Put the plug in, but the plug, that happens every trip. So don't make fun of that methodical individual. You want the methodical individual to help set up and run your boat every time. You want to be checking everything and sometimes double checking it, and that plug is one. You want to make sure you got a plug there. Battery. Make sure your battery is charged. If your battery is not holding a charge or was drained over the winter time, just charging it up and thinking that it's going to be okay might not work. Put a charge on it, take that extra step, run it in, and have it load tested to make sure that it will be okay. If it passes the muster then with that load test, then go back, make sure it's completely topped off on the charge and put it back into your boat. The best thing to keep the longevity of your batteries is to put them on a trickle charge year-round, especially in the cold times of the year. But run it on a trickle charger year-round, and it's one of those ones that will actually turn off. Make sure you've got one that will turn off. Not many of them are made anymore that will not turn off. Most of them... well, especially if you buy them, that they're called a battery tender. I know that is a particular brand name, but if you look, there's a tending deal where they will kick on when the voltage drops down and it brings it up to a certain voltage and keeps it right there. And then if you want to get more of a multi-use type of charger that will tend and fully charge, you're going to spend a lot more for one of those, but you need to make sure that if it has that tending option, that it will actually charge from a zero level or a very low level back up to the full voltage of the battery, because some of those tenders will never, ever do that. So battery maintenance is a big thing. Make sure that if you did winterize your boat, that you get your boat unwinterized. All those seacocks, if you have a inboard, outboard, all those seacocks that are on that inboard motor on the manifold, make sure they're closed, because as you're going, you're all of a sudden you're going to start to fill up your bilge, and the bilge pump's going to run, and you don't know what's going on. And then it all of a sudden dawns on you, the seacocks were open. It was, in essence, pumping water into your boat. Make sure that they're all closed off and ready to go there. Good reminder, winterization. If you didn't winterize your boat, be prepared for the worst. I'm just going to tell you at that point in time, we had some freezing temperatures. If it was an IO, you potentially cracked some stuff. Go take it to the shop now. If you didn't change the oil on your lower end, you've got to get that changed. there's water in that, no matter what, water will make it into the lower end on your outboards and or the IO drives that are there. Water makes it into those places. So that's why we change that oil every year. And that should be done in the fall and part of that winterization piece. That way, so the water doesn't freeze. So if you didn't winterize your boat, you better get it looked at because something could be wrong. And the other one is fuel. Please, we've talked about this time and time and time again, especially if we can talk about this with new boat owners. Please do not put E10 gas in your boats. You will pay the price for doing that. It will eat away some of your lines with that ethanol in there, which is close to an alcohol derivative. If you leave your boat in the slip, it will literally distill water even more. It will separate. So just please be very, very careful of doing that. Additives, be very, very careful about putting additives in your tanks. If you are getting non-ethanol fuel and putting it in there, and then you're adding an additive, a dryer in there, you potentially, depending on how much additive you put in, you could be making something that's close to an E10 fuel that's in there. So just be very careful with your additives that you place in. The best thing to do is to, if you're leaving a boat in the slips, it's a full tank. No matter what, that tank is full all the time if it's left in the slips. And especially if it's in the shoulder season times in the spring and in the fall, when you have these temperature variants, the water will stay the same temperature. The ambient air temperature is going to flip-flop back and forth 30, 40 degrees or more. So with that being said, hopefully, and if you don't know how to do it, you can YouTube it, but it's no different than putting a piece of plastic over the ground, digging a hole, and you can start to distill water for yourself. That's what your fuel tank's doing. So if you have a full tank, you're not going to distill as much. If you have an empty to a half tank, you're going to distill more water. It's just the way that it goes. Do not forget about your trailer. We say this all the time. I think I bring it up every year, and O'Brien brings it up every year, but how many times we start seeing May to Memorial Day, how many times if you're driving past on the highway and you see a boat with a tire missing, potentially even the wheel hub off because they didn't properly maintain and pack their bearings. Boat trailers, and this is probably one of the biggest Achilles heels in boating, is you run that boat on the highway to get to where you need to go, and then you immediately get in line, you pull it around. If things are ideal conditions, you pull it around, and you plop that trailer into the water. Those hubs could be warm. If those hubs are warm, they're going to introduce water into them. If you don't have the bearing buddies with that, you have to get new grease into those. Plus, it starts to weaken those seals on the back side of that hub. So let the hubs cool down before you stick it in the water. So that's a good thing, is go around and do that touch test on your hubs, on your trailer. But at least once a year, get your bearings packed with new grease, especially on a boat trailer, because I can't tell you how many you see along the side of the freeway. And then lights, holy cow. And this isn't boat trailers. This is every trailer under the sun. They're kind of like the old Christmas tree lights sometimes, especially the older trailers. One bulb goes out, they all go out type of thing. It's annoying. It's frustrating. You get it to work, you go down the highway, you do your next stop, you do a light check when you hop in, and then they're not working again. It's like, what the heck is going on? Usually it's going to end up with the ground with that. So just please do some maintenance to your lights, do the maintenance to your wheels, and that's new tires. If you got tires that are reaching outside of 5 to 7 years, you're going to need new rubber on that, because as they get older, they're going to go. And also, a lot of your trailer tires are not really supposed to go over 60, 65 miles an hour anyway on their rating, on their speed rating. So traveling at 80 miles an hour down the freeway, you're heating those surfaces up and those tires are going to blow. So make sure you take care of the trailer. battery's topped off, and good fuel. And lastly, to go full circle again, don't forget the plug.
Don't forget the plug. Yeah, I remember that very clearly.
Oh, because that person that forgets the plug will never live it down with the group that is there. So if you want to keep an inkling of pride, please do not leave the plug out. I have not left the plug out, but I have coworkers that have, and they hear about it consistently. So do not leave out the plug.
Yeah. And also, for those of us that may not have been boating for a while, it does not hurt to do a little practicing, maneuvering with that trailer in the parking lot after hours in like Walmart or somewhere else when you don't have an audience, when you don't have a lot of people waiting to get that same spot on the ramp. It makes a difference and it sure does bring down the stress levels.
Yeah, it'll bring down the stress levels on that. You may kill that favorite pastime of ramp watching, because that is absolutely hilarious. You look at things like Hollover Inlet and other things like that where they show people boating through inlets and they're hilarious and they're trying to show you the do's and don'ts and they're scary too. But, wow, we had more cameras on our ramps. Maybe individuals would behave better and or maybe exercise a little bit better patience with some stuff. But it is absolutely hilarious to watch. So please don't be one of those. Go to the parking lot after hours, as Brian says, so you don't have a lot of looky-loos, and practice. It's not a big deal. Backing's really not a stressful thing if you can just take that chance to get to know it and to go there, and don't worry about what the others are saying out and around you. Just keep in your lane and make it happen. It's awesome. You go and stick a boat trailer in a smaller opening than most people go, and you're able to retrieve and pull back out, man, you're cool. That's all I gotta say.
In and out, done.
It's kind of like, it's one of these European videos that they show in there. We see this guy that he has a little bit of a pudgy belly and a big old gold necklace around. So he has his life jacket on, has that on, and he's pulling in, and it's kind of like docking with style. He cuts the motor and just walks out onto the bow, and everything clicks in. It's just perfect. And he steps off the dock, and this is what success is. So I wish I could show it. It's like me telling jokes. I don't do the jokes very much justice. I ruin them. So, but if you can get on YouTube and look at the perfect docking, and you can find this guy that's got the mustache and the gold chains and a little bit bigger belly, the suave haircut. It's pretty funny. It's awesome. But that's what you want to be on the boat ramp.
Ty Hunter, I want to thank you so much for taking time with us today.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it, everybody. And have a great and safe spring and end of the summer.
Play safe. Don't be a boating statistic. Nearly 80% of people who drowned in boating accidents would have survived if they'd only worn their life jacket. Anyone being towed from a boat, operating a personal watercraft, and children 12 and under must wear life jackets at all times. Utah State Park Rangers recommend everyone wear a life jacket. Utah boaters wear it. A message from the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
If you would like a little more from your range experience than standing and shooting holes in paper, come and train with us, TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Look for a variety of annuals and perennials in your yard. We have some options next on Western Life Radio.
Play safe on the water. In Utah, youth 12 to 17 must pass an approved safety class prior to operating personal watercraft on Utah waters. Classes are offered statewide. Register now or get more information by calling 801-538-BOAT. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Spring is fast approaching, and Sportsman's Warehouse shares your passion for hiking, fishing, camping, and hunting. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. Sportsman's Warehouse has the latest in fishing to help you catch the big ones as the ice melts, or get above the inversion with new hiking boots. Their experts combined with a terrific selection truly make Sportsman's Warehouse the great indoors for those that love the great outdoors. Utah born and Utah proud, Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside. Maximize color and texture in your garden by taking advantage of a mix of annuals and perennials. Alex Grover with Utah Gardeners share some suggestions.
With the annuals, I think there's less variety with the annuals in the end. I mean, you go down, I'm in Utah County, so Cooks is the place for annuals in Utah County. I could say that with a clear conscience. My place to sell annuals makes it real easy. But I don't have to worry about competing. They've got the best annuals. But you look at it, and how many species have you got? You got your marigolds, you got your petunias, you got a little bit of zinnias, a little bit of other stuff. But you got maybe, what, a dozen to 2,000 species, period. That's it. We're not even talking species. We're talking blue-like genuses. So you've really only got so many plants that are going to be used for your annual flowers. And some of those, like basil, are going to be kind of specialized and not used a huge amount. But they'll be there. And then you look at your perennial flowers. And I think I ordered a dozen genuses just today, and we're not even to the best part of the season. And so you've got so much with perennials that can be done, and that can be just really so many options in height and color and texture.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
We are here at Dead Horse Point State Park, and we have a really great collaborative opportunity tonight. We're going to have park rangers from Dead Horse, from Canyonlands, and also from Arches National Park. We're bringing all of our telescopes out, and we're going to have a star party.
Look in there, you see Mars?
We end up having a lot of public land with very little light on it. So it just makes for amazing night sky views. You can see the Milky Way clearly with color.
We're going to have folks from the public come in, tourists from all over the country, all over the world, and we're going to gaze up at those beautiful night skies that we have here in the Colorado Plateau.
Here, go ahead and you can take a look in here too.
It is a huge draw for people, and it does take their breath away, and it's just an amazing experience.
Only about a third of the people in the United States can see the Milky Way from where they live. And so the parks, the national parks, are a celestial refuge where people can come see these dark skies and the Milky Way maybe for the only time in their whole lives.
Air quality, scenic views, dark night skies, these are all connected. If air quality is impaired, it affects the scenic view during the day, it affects the clarity of the night skies.
As I watch visitors approach the Green River Overlook here, and I watch their jaws drop and their eyes get big, looking down into a canyon that is this vast, and I think that it changes them. The experience of standing here is unlike anything they have experienced in their lives, and I think that part of what we are protecting here is the chance for visitors to have that experience.
Clear air, dark night skies, beautiful view sheds are all part of the character of the Colorado Plateau and something that we all share, whether we work for the Park Service or whether we even visit national parks. We all share those resources, and they all go hand in hand, and so conserving them is a collective effort.
We recognize, as you look out across this viewshed, that you are looking beyond the boundaries of Canyonlands National Park. And certainly as you look upward into the sky as well, there are places that we have no jurisdiction over, no authority to manage.
it's really important for us to work together, because what happens in the closest city, the amount of smog or the amount of light pollution that goes on outside of the park still affects these parks.
Probably the most important thing that we do on all of these topics is that we engage and cooperate with our neighboring communities and partners to understand air quality and issues with scenic views, and then to come up with the most effective strategies for protecting them together.
We approached a local oil exploration company about the lights, the security lights that they would use on their oil pad. I expressed to him my concerns with the security lights and how they were there for months, and the gentleman listened, and within a couple months, there were no more security lights, just lights for the drills, and it was amazing how quickly and how much they understood.
People often don't understand that the choices they make every day can be harmful to ecosystems and the views of the night sky. But the good news is this is actually a really quick and sometimes simple environmental issue to fix with something as simple as putting a shield over a light, or reducing the wattage of a bulb, or putting a light on a timer or a motion sensor can make an immediate difference.
And that's the really positive thing about this issue. That night sky has not gone anywhere.
And so when we teach people about those simple actions they can take and what the consequences of light pollution are, often it's a pretty easy choice for them to make.
I'm very hopeful about the protection of these resources, because their protection, their preservation is about individual choices, individual and institutional choices that we can affect.
We're hoping that the message that we impart here at the park goes home, crosses the oceans, it becomes international, so that all of us are thinking about our larger role as part of a much larger community.
You start to remind them to look up and appreciate the night sky again, and they can't help but have that connection again.
People want to make these decisions that causes them to be a good neighbor and a good steward to the environment. They know that we have these really unique landscapes and unique starry skies, and they want to hold on to that.
Put on your helmet, let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Play safe. Boating accidents happen quickly. You never know when you might end up in the water. Wear your life jacket and have a throwable life preserver on board. Remember, Utah boaters wear it. Call 801-538-BOAT. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities,
yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park,
visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park!
Choose your adventure, explore Utah, and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
Ricky, my man! Hey, headed out on the lake, I see. These fish aren't gonna catch themselves, am I right? Got some brewskis from my broski.
No, thank you, that's illegal.
What? Come on, aren't you the guy that wrestled the buffalo on Antelope Island?
First of all, they're called bison, and I was delivering a breech calf.
Wow, come on, man. I'll trade you this sixer of suds for that life jacket.
A real man always wears his life vest. He never partakes of alcohol while operating a boat. Everyone knows that.
Not everybody does.
Everybody knows that.
You got me.
He's leading the way along the back roads less traveled, exploring the woodlands, the red rocks. rocks and streams. He's sharing his campfire from season to season. New places and people with stories and dreams. Through cadence of nature, the wilderness beckons. A song of the mountains rings out through the trees. The voice of the backcountry echoes forever. It carries the message, live wild and free. Wild and free. The song of the mountains is calling to me. Wild and free. In the great western wildlands, discover the backcountry dream.
Folks, you've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.